ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So reading today from 6th canto, chapter number 16, chapter entitled King Chitraketu Meets the Lord, text number 56. Ubayam smarata pumsaha praswapa pratibodayo Anveti vyatiri cheta Tadjnanam brahma tatparam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. If one's dreams during sleep are merely subject matters witnessed by the super soul, how can the living entity who is different from the super soul remember the activities of the dreams? The experiences of one person cannot be understood by another. Therefore, the knower of the facts, the living entity who inquires into the incidents manifested in dreams and wakefulness, is different from the circumstantial activities. That knowing factor is Brahman. In other words, the quality of knowing belongs to the living entities and to the Supreme Soul. Thus, the living entity can also experience the activities of dreams and wakefulness. In both stages, the knower is unchanged, but is qualitatively one with the Supreme Brahman. Purport. In knowledge, the living entity is qualitatively one with the Supreme Brahman. But the quantity of the Supreme Brahman is not the same as that of the living entity who is part of Brahman. Because the living entity is Brahman in quality, he can remember the past activities of dreams and also know the present activities of wakefulness. Oh. Hare Krishna. So looking at this particular verse, we realize how important it is for us to have the purport of a pure devotee. Actually, when I read this verse for the first time, I didn't understand anything. I read it the second time, I read it the third time. And really, if one goes through this verse, it's so difficult to understand a scripture like Srimad Bhagavatam unless you have the purport of a pure devotee. So we are seeing over here the conversation between Maharaj Chitraketu and Anantashesh, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Lord is giving some very specific instructions over here to Maharaj Chitraketu. And Srila Prabhupada in this purport is once again talking about the difference between a living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Vaishnava literatures are the only literatures that explain the distinction between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity. One day, Srila Prabhupada was sitting in Radha Rasbihari temple in 1973 with a group of devotees, and some guests had come over there. And one of the guests was particularly very forceful to emphasize that the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are the same. They're one and the same. And Prabhupada was going at great length to explain to him that how they are different. And Srila Prabhupada was giving the example of how there was this prime minister at that time who was a lady. And Srila Prabhupada was talking about her and saying that, you know this lady who was a prime minister? And this guest said, yes, yes, I know her. So he said, what is the difference between her and me? She is walking, I am walking, she is a human being, I am a human being. She is giving lectures to different sorts of audience and I give lectures to different sorts of audience. So for all practical purposes, I am equal to her. So this guest said, no, how can you be equal to her? Yes, Srila Prabhupada said, that is a point. So she is a separate living entity and I am a separate living entity. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also a separate living entity. Only thing, he is supreme, whereas we are insignificant. So by this, Srila Prabhupada was trying to establish to this guest, and still the guest was not willing to understand. Not that he didn't understand. Of course, we could make out from the conversation that he understood. And Srila Prabhupada kept on continuing to explain to him the difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity, the Jiva. So here also Srila Prabhupada in this purport is making the same point that qualitatively we are one with the Supreme, but quantitatively we are different. In one lecture that Srila Prabhupada was giving in Los Angeles in 1968, which was practically the early days of the Krishna consciousness movement, Srila Prabhupada was so heavy on this particular point that we have to be so careful that we do not associate with Mayavadis. Because Mayavadis do not have any conception of how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we associate with Mayavadis, they will be able to twist and turn the scriptures in such a way to present it in a way by which they will prove that the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are one and the same. And it's very easy to be convinced. So Srila Prabhupada was cautioning his disciples who were practically so new into the movement. And one of the disciples asked Srila Prabhupada, how is it that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation from a Mayavadi sannyasi? So Srila Prabhupada was making the point that yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did take initiation from a Mayavad sannyasi, but that is because you have to take sannyas from a sannyasi. You cannot take sannyas from a grahastha, or you cannot take sannyas from a brahmachari. You need to take sannyas from a sannyasi. And in any case, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he took sannyas, he did not change his title. Normally, a sannyas in the Bharati Sampradaya would have had a suffix of Bharati after his name. So he could have become like Krishna Bharati or some such name he would have got. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he did not want to be connected directly with a sampradaya that was Mayavadi, he did not accept the title of Bharati. And he continued to have his name as Krishna Chaitanya. Chaitanya actually is, in that same sampradaya, it is a name that is normally given to a brahmachari. Srila Prabhupada was emphasizing this point that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had set out to preach the glories of the holy name and to preach the differentiation between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity. And in order to do that, he could not be shown to be connected to a Mayavad parampara. And Srila Prabhupada was again making the point that if you want to get married, for example, then you go to a priest. But then just because you go to a priest and the priest gives you the vows of marriage, doesn't mean that you have to ask the priest for his personal opinion. You don't have to ask the priest for his personal opinion. So the personal opinion of the priest could be anything. So in this case also, the personal opinion of Keshava Bharati was that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should also be a Mayavad sannyasi. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas from him because it was necessary for him to be a sannyasi. The person who was initiating him into the sannyas order had to be a sannyasi. So we see also from the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how effectively he would preach to the Mayavadis and convert them into Vaishnavas. And of course we have a very strong example in the life of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was actually a high priest in Navadvip. Navadvip was considered to be the high seat of learning in the whole of India at that time. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the priest of the Jagannath Puri temple. A very, very powerful person and who was completely convinced that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity are one and the same. To the extent that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was trying to instruct him for 7 days on this particular aspect. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just giving him a patient hearing throughout. And Sarvam Bhattacharya asked him towards the end, how is it that you're not responding? Is it that you're not understanding what I'm saying? Or is there some other problem? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu responded that actually the Vedanta Sutra is like the sun. It's so bright and effulgent that you cannot ever escape from it. But your purport that you are giving to the Vedanta Sutras is like a dark cloud that is covering the sun. So there's nothing with the Vedanta Sutra as such, but it is basically the problem with your purport. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started explaining to Sarvam Bhattacharya. Long conversation. And finally, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the Atmaram verse in 18 different ways, Sarvam Bhattacharya was convinced that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he surrendered to him. And later on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to test and see how Sarvam Bhattacharya, whether he had really become a Vaishnava devotee or not, early in the morning, after he took darshan of Lord Jagannath, he went to the house of Sarvam Bhattacharya just before sunrise. And knocked on the door. So Sarvam Bhattacharya had not even brushed his teeth or not even had bath. So he opened the doors. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in. Sarvam Bhattacharya paid his obeisances. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opened out his cloth from where he took the Mahaprasad of Jagannath and gave it to Sarvam Bhattacharya. Before that, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had knocked on the door and Sarvam Bhattacharya had got up, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could distinctly hear him say, Krishna, Krishna. And immediately, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very pleased. And when he handed over the Mahaprasad of Jagannath to Sarvam Bhattacharya, Sarvam Bhattacharya quoted so many shlokas saying how glorious is Mahaprasad. And whatever may be the condition of the Mahaprasad, we have to honor it immediately. Maybe it's stale, maybe it is old. Still, it has to be honored immediately. And Sarvam Bhattacharya put it into his mouth. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, how is it that you are honoring this when you not had bath? And then Sarvam Bhattacharya once again quoted another very glorious verse on the glories of Mahaprasad. So, Sarvam Bhattacharya, after that, was completely converted into a Vaishnava devotee. And similarly, Prakashananda Saraswati was another great sannyasi in the Mayavad Sampradaya. And he had 60,000 disciples. He was a very, very big person in Varanasi, Kashi. And it so happened that there was a Maharashtrian Brahmin who one day came to Prakashananda Saraswati and started glorifying to him about this new sannyasi who had come over there to Varanasi, saying that his name is Krishna Chaitanya and is so effulgent and it dances so ecstatically. Prakashananda Saraswati listened to what this Maharashtrian Brahmin had to say, and after he finished, he said, oh, that Chaitanya, he's a sentimental fool. He just goes around dancing, goes around singing. What does he understand about the Vedanta Sutra? He is not a bona fide sannyasi. In fact, he's only a pretender. And there were so many statements that Prakashananda Saraswati made. The Maharishan Brahman was very much disturbed and said, how could he listen to the criticism about the Lord? And then saying Krishna, Krishna, he left from there. And then he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, my dear Lord, this person, Prakashananda Saraswati, was saying so many things about you. He was criticizing you in so many different ways. But he said, what I was more surprised was the fact that he never uttered the words Krishna. So the Maharashtrian Brahman told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Prakashananda Saraswati repeated the word Chaitanya 3 times. But not a single time did he utter the word Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and said, yes, a person who does not accept Krishna to be different from him is the greatest offender. And he is never able to utter the words of the name of the Lord. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said there's no difference between the Lord and His name. Yeah. So they don't want to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's no difference between them. And because of that, they are the greatest of offenders. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pacified this Maharashtrian Brahman and then left towards Mathura. And subsequently, much, much later, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had finished his tour of Vrindavan, met Sanatan Goswami, instructed him for 2 months, and then finally came back towards Varanasi. At that time, Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar one day approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they were again feeling so distressed that this person, Prakashananda Saraswati, is criticizing you so much. He's all the time offending you, calling you a sentimental fool. So why don't you meet him and clarify to him what exactly is the position? What exactly is the true position? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not give any reply. And just at that time, the Maharashtrian Brahman came in and requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that why don't you come and meet this Prakashananda Saraswati? And this Maharashtrian Brahman was thinking in his mind that the best way to do it would be to arrange for a get-together of Prakashananda Saraswati with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And normally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would make it a practice never to meet a Mayavadi sannyasi or a Mayavadi devotee. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say that just to meet a Mayavadi means the greatest of danger. You never know how they would twist the philosophy in order to preach to you. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always keep away from Mayavadi sannyasis. But in this case, when the Maharashtrian Brahman, Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar were requesting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to meet Prakashananda Saraswati, Mahaprabhu agreed. And then the Maharashtrian Brahman invited this Prakashananda Saraswati and his disciples to his house. They had a beautiful prasadam organized. And just at that time, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered into the place where this devotees had congregated, at that time he just came inside, washed his feet near the tap and just sat down over there. And he started emanating from his body a very powerful effulgence, which was becoming stronger and stronger. So Prakashananda Saraswati could see that, and normally this Mayavad sannyasis, they are very much attracted to the Brahman effulgence. So when they saw this effulgence that was emanating from the Lord, he immediately got up from his high seat and came down to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and took him by his hand and asked him, why are you sitting over here? Why didn't you come on top? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that actually I am a very insignificant person. I am actually not even from a proper bona fide or respectable sampradaya. But Prakashananda Saraswati said, no, please come and sit on top. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went over there, sat, and then they were discussing. And Prakashananda Saraswati, the first question was, why do you behave like this? Tell us, why do you behave so in such a sentimental way? Actually, for a sannyasi to behave in such a sentimental way is not appropriate. He should be actually studying the Vedanta Sutras, and that is the proper thing for him to do. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took on a very, very humble position and said, actually, my spiritual master considered me to be a fool. And he said that for you, there is only one way by which you can make advancement in your spiritual life, and that is by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This Vedanta Sutra is not meant for you. So please don't even attempt to study the Vedanta Sutras. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prakashananda Saraswati then started debating, where Prakashananda Saraswati was trying to establish the supremacy of the Shariraka Bhasha of Shankaracharya. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally defeated him. And he and his entire lot of 60,000 disciples surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we see also that sometimes a Mayavad sannyasi or Mayavad devotee projects himself to be such a he manifests all the qualities of a Vaishnava devotee, so it becomes very difficult to understand whether he is really from which sampradaya or which philosophy he is practicing. Like it happened in the case of Raghunath Bhattacharya, Raghunath Bhattagoswami, who was on his way to Jagannath Puri, and at that time, on the way, he happened to stop at Bengal. And when he was in Bengal, a devotee by the name Ramdas Vishwas came and met Raghunath Bhattacharya and told him that I would like to accompany you to Jagannath Puri because I want to take darshan of Lord Jagannath. So Raghunath Bhattacharya said, okay, you can come along with me. But the quality of this Ramdas Vishwas was that he would always chant the name of Ram. Continuously he would be chanting the name of Ram. So Raghunath Bhattacharya was enamored by this particular quality. And also, he was a very humble person. He wanted to serve Raghunath Bhattagoswami. And always, you know, he wanted to carry his bag, he wanted to massage his feet. And Raghunath Bhattagoswami was somehow feeling very bad that he was accepting the service. And he told Ramdas Vishwasa that, please don't serve me like this. But then Ramdas Vishwasa said that, I'm your servant. Please allow me to serve you. And they proceeded along the way, and when they came and met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Raghunath Bhattagoswami, took him into his arms, and they exchanged so many intimate, they had such intimate dealings between them. But somehow this Ramdas Vishwasa was not recognized by the Lord, and even Raghunath Bhatta was confused as to why is it that he is not paying any attention to him. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he is the Paramatma situated in the heart of Ramdas Vishwasa, he realized that actually Ramdas Vishwasa wanted to be one with the Lord. Although he was chanting the holy names of the Lord continuously, for 24 hours of the day he was chanting Ram's name. He took on a humble position of becoming the menial servant. So from a superficial perspective, it appeared as if Ramdas Vishwasa wanted to be a devotee. I mean, was a devotee, and he was a Vaishnava devotee. So even Raghunath Bhatta did not know who he was actually dealing with. So it sometimes happens that we come across a person who tries to put forward a behavior as if he's a Vaishnava, but actually what is their innermost in his heart subsequently gets revealed when we associate with him. So Srila Prabhupada, in one of his conversations with the disciples, was making this particular point that because there is this danger that is associated with interacting with a Mayavadi, it is better always to remain in the association of Vaishnavas. We always have to seek out and associate with the Vaishnavas, because there is always a chance, if you do not know exactly the bona fides of the person with whom we are associating, he could be actually harboring a desire to be becoming one with the Lord. So I remember a similar instance once when I was quite young. There was this person who had come over to our house, and he was a grahastha, but apparently very highly qualified in his spiritual knowledge. And he was preaching. He was talking to us about how spirituality helps, and how we should spend some time of our day in spirituality, and so on and so forth. And prima facie, it didn't appear as if he was any way different from a true devotee of the Lord. But later on, when my parents started talking to him, and he was preaching about ultimately we all have to become one with the Lord. No doubt we have to take the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have to worship the deities of the Lord. Yeah, but this is the beginning stage. The final end stage should be that we should surrender and become one with the Lord. So even to the extent that they say that you can worship the deities, and the ultimate goal is not just worshipping the deities for the sake of becoming the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, but to become one with the Lord. So we see in South India predominantly this particular feature is very prominent, that there would be people who would be worshipping the Lord with such intensity. So much of care they take when they worship the Lord, so much of opulence they give to the Lord. And prima facie, it appears as if they are very much attached to the Lord, and then they are doing such wonderful service. But then most often, the motive is to become one with the Lord. So one has to be very careful when we associate with people who are whose whereabouts or whose bona fides we are not aware of. And ultimately, when we see, we realize, when we associate with devotees, we realize that the personal worship of the Lord is so much more superior than to the impersonal worship. When we read Chaitanya Charitamrita or Srimad Bhagavatam, and we hear about the pastimes of how the Lord reciprocates with his devotees, then we understand that yes, there is so much more rasa in this particular aspect of spirituality. Becoming one with the Lord, yes, I mean, it's fine. If that's what a person ultimately wants to aspire for. But then when you are relating with the Lord and you have that relationship that you establish with the Lord, then you find that that gives you so much more happiness. For example, when you're worshipping the Lord, when you're worshipping the deities of the Lord, worshipping the Lord in person, the happiness that you get is much, much more. And particularly from the scriptures, when we come across situations where the Lord and the devotees are personally reciprocating with themselves, then we realize that the Lord is not just a statue or not just an idol, but is a living being. Like Krishnanand Prabhu was explaining a few days back about the story of Sakshi Gopal. The Lord comes all the way from Vrindavan to Vidyanagar just in order to reciprocate with the intense feeling of relationship between him and his devotee. His devotee is having so much of love that he goes before this audience and tells them that I will get Gopal over here, because he was actually a witness between the conversation that took place between me and this old Brahmana. And when he comes to Vrindavan and approaches the Lord and begs the Lord to come, so the Lord asks him, we never heard about a deity that walks. And this young Brahmana said that we also never heard about a deity that talks. And the Lord was completely overwhelmed and told him, okay, now you proceed and I'll come behind you. And the atheistic relatives of this Brahmana, the old Brahmana, they could not even understand what it was, how a person could have such a relationship with the Lord. And they could not believe when this young Brahmana said that I will get the Lord over here. They could not believe that such a thing was possible. And when the Lord finally came over there, then the old Brahmana had his dream also fulfilled, because he was also praying for the same thing, that let the Lord, who actually was a witness, let him come over here and become a witness to this promise that I made to this young Brahmana. And similarly, we see from the pastime of Raghunandan, such a small boy, his father would be doing this offering every day to the to the Lord. And one day when the father was called outside and he had to go, so he told his son that today you should offer this boga to the Lord. And this boy did not have any concept of offering and, you know, whether the Lord would be accepting or what does the Lord actually do. But anyway, because he was instructed by his father, so he placed this boga in front of the Lord and started requesting the Lord, please come and accept this. Started meditating and started praying, please come and accept this, whatever I'm offering. And the Lord, naturally, to all of us, when we offer to the Lord does not come personally and accept whatever we are offering. Of course, our offering and Raghunandan's offering is much different. Raghunandan's offering was done out of pure love. So the Lord apparently did not accept the offering, and Raghunandan started crying. And I started requesting the Lord again and again, please come, what will my parents think? What will my father think? Every day he offers to you and you accept, but then today you're not accepting, so please accept. And the Lord came and actually ate the offering of Raghunandan. And similarly, when Raghav Pandit would be doing his offerings with so much of love and devotion, that reciprocation that is there between a devotee and the Lord actually was manifested in the case of Raghav Pandit and Lord Krishna. Raghav Pandit was so much desirous of giving the best quality ingredients to the Lord that he would get coconuts from about 20 kilometers away. Although he would have coconuts growing in his backyard, still he would get the best quality coconuts, sometimes paying maybe 5 or 6 times the amount. And after getting this coconuts, he would put it in cool water for it to cool. And then at the time of offering, he would clip off the top part of the coconut and offer it to the Lord. And sometimes the Lord would come and drink the juice, the coconut milk. And Raghav Pandit used to be in such ecstasy that he would scoop out the coconut and put it in a plate and offer it to the Lord. And the Lord would sometimes come and honor that also. And one day when he saw that the offering that was being made to the Lord was improper, he immediately had those coconuts which he had brought with so much of difficulty, he had it thrown into the garbage. And then he brought fresh offering to be made to the Lord. So when we offer sometimes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's done mainly out of our own desire that the Lord should eat fast and then we should get it. Very rarely do we do it in the mood of either Raghunandan or Raghav Pandit. We know that we are supposed to offer, before we have something, we are supposed to offer it to the Lord. But then what is the consciousness? As Srila Prabhupada would explain, ultimately the process of Krishna consciousness is one of the heart. With what consciousness are we doing the activities that we are doing is what ultimately Lord Krishna sees. Every activity, may it be book distribution or chanting the holy names or reading the scriptures, associating with devotees. And Srila Prabhupada in a class once, he was emphasizing on this particular aspect that the best part of Krishna consciousness as compared to any other movement is the relationship between the devotees. Because it is only in a Vaishnava Sampradaya that we have this particular aspect of pleasing the Lord through having proper relationship between the devotees. And particularly in times of need, we see how valuable this association of devotees is. How much important this association of devotees is for us. And of course, the most important time when we require them is the time when we are leaving our body. So this is one singular aspect of Krishna consciousness which actually overrides everything else. This wonderful relationship among the devotees. And that is actually something that really pleases Krishna. Because Krishna in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam tells Uddhav that actually it is not the worship of me that pleases me, but it is the worship of my devotee that really pleases me. And Srila Prabhupada would very often emphasize on this particular aspect that we may do everything nicely in our Krishna consciousness. We may be even chanting 64 rounds. But if we do not have this proper relationship between the devotees, then everything is a waste of time. Because the whole impetus and the strength for practicing Krishna consciousness comes when we are in the association of devotees and we relate with them properly. Yeah. Otherwise, it becomes like a very mundane relationship. People come and do whatever they are doing, but then you just don't have that rasa, you don't have that satisfaction that is coming out of practicing spiritual life. And over a period of time, we see, particularly since I hail from South India and I visit the South Indian temples, although the worship of the Lord is taking place so nicely, still because the people who are worshipping the deities do not have a proper relationship between them, the worship becomes mundane. And you can see for yourself that you're not able to experience any happiness in visiting that temple, or there is no satisfaction in your heart or mind in visiting that particular temple, and you just come out feeling empty. But that place where there are devotees who are associating with each other nicely in a true mood of what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told us, in the mood of being the servant of the servant of the servant, you really feel enlivened in such an atmosphere. So Srila Prabhupada would emphasize this particular aspect very, very strongly, that if you want to actually make advancement in your Krishna consciousness, you have to ensure that you have proper association among each other. Just ensure that you have proper relationship amongst each other. And several times, devotees would go to Srila Prabhupada and complain to him about this particular devotee and about that particular devotee, and Srila Prabhupada would be very heavy. He said, first you look into yourself and see what are the faults that are there in you. And once Srila Prabhupada told a devotee who had gone to him to complain about another devotee, Srila Prabhupada told him that, why don't you tolerate him? Just like how I'm tolerating you. So the spiritual master actually tolerates all of us. Each and every one of us, in our own insignificant way, we are trying to please the spiritual master. But what is it that actually pleases him? Srila Prabhupada has given this very famous quote that you shall please me by the way you cooperate with each other. Just before Srila Prabhupada left this planet, he gave this one supreme instruction for all of us. And this is actually the instruction that is there of our entire sampradaya, starting from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself would glorify devotees just to set to the particular example. Never criticize devotees, but always appreciate them. Always project their good qualities. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Vallabh Bhatta, and Vallabh Bhatta wanted to present to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about the Srimad Bhagavatam commentary that he had written, at that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was somehow or the other not willing to hear his commentary, because he knew that his commentary was not strictly according to how it should be. So at that time, Vallabh Bhatta, when he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started glorifying all the devotees and saying, see, each and every one of these devotees over here, they are much more qualified than me. See, this is Advaita Acharya. And see this Gadadhar Pandit, and see this Srivas Thakur, and everyone, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was glorifying to Vallabh Bhatta and saying that each and every one of them is far, far superior to me. So you can actually discuss whatever you want to discuss with them. And because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not willing to listen to the words of or to the philosophy that Vallabha Bhatta had, none of the other devotees were also ready to listen to him, except for Gadadhar Pandit. And because Gadadhar Pandit's heart was so soft, the pure Vaishnava, that he couldn't say no whenever Vallabha Bhatta would approach him to relate to him this commentary that he had written on the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set up this particular example for all of us, that first and foremost, learn how to appreciate Vaishnavas. Find their good qualities. Maybe there might be only one small good quality in a Vaishnava. Of course, there are millions of good qualities, but you might be able to see only one. But if you're able to see one, glorify that. Appreciate that. It doesn't cost us anything to either say something nice about a person. Because finally we know that that is what is pleasing to Krishna, pleasing to your spiritual master. So in the practice of our Krishna consciousness, if we wish to make advancement, we have to take this very, very seriously. Respect all Vaishnavas and glorify them, appreciate them. Genuinely, it has to come really from the bottom of our heart. And of course, this is something that the other person will be able to see for himself when you are glorifying him. Are you really doing it with a genuine intention? Or is it just an artificial approach? It has to be natural, spontaneous. And we see in our movement that when a person really goes out of his way to appreciate the good qualities, he makes such tremendous spiritual advancement. So, how does one have this relationship when one tries to merge into the Supreme Brahman? As Srila Prabhupada was once saying to his disciples in a conversation, one of his disciples asked him, would this Mayavad devotees, Mayavadis always fall down? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes. Each and every one of them? Prabhupada said, yes. So then one of the devotees asked, why Srila Prabhupada, why would they fall down? And Srila Prabhupada said, they fall down because they are lonely. No doubt they go to the Brahman effulgence where there is no activity. Yeah, but there's no relationship. And when there's no relationship, you become lonely. And because they become lonely, they have to fall down and back into the material world. So our goal is to go to the spiritual world, be in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His associates. And establish relationship with them, not just merge into the impersonal Brahman and lose our identity. That can be done by establishing proper relationships over here. Because once we do that, then we please the spiritual master, we please the Vaishnavas, we please Lord Krishna himself. And then our journey back home, back to Godhead, becomes all that more faster and easier. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments?